Thank you very much. I was told by my son Blair before I speak, I'm almost supposed to tell you people about what I am and who I am, as opposed to just launching into a presentation. I think it was probably, Ben, when did you and Michael go to Tim Hortons? I had to pick you up at 12:30 every Friday night. Not you, but Michael. Many, many years ago. Yeah, Ben was where you were. Michael was where you were. I have four boys. I'm married to a very beautiful woman, Laurel Ann Hobbs, who is at the church. Married 28 years. As I said last night to her, you've been a wonderful mother and a challenging wife. That's truth, guys. Anybody who gets married will understand what I just said. Anyways, we're very fortunate. We have four boys. And the topic of my presentation today, or the title of my presentation, is It Starts With a Decision. Changing mics. Okay. You want me to use the mic, right, Ben? Yeah, okay. I was thinking about this presentation. I don't want to make it a big formal presentation, but I think there's just a couple of, maybe three opening points that I want to share with you. The first and foremost is, when it comes to money, money is a gift from God. I think too often we think otherwise. It is a gift from God, and it is in the Bible that it says that. And I think it's very important to understand it's what we do with the money will determine whether we are listening to Satan or God. So I think that's very, very important. So there are good purposes of money and there are bad purposes of money. The second point I'll make is that when it comes to money, I believe the church in general, not necessarily CTF, but the church in general, has labeled money as a very evil. And that's very foolish, because if you want to do ministry, whether it be in this community or around the world, the reality is you're going to need money. You're just not going to be able to go marching around the world on somebody else's ticket. You're going to have to get control of it yourself. And the third thing is, as I looked around this room, I've got a little secret to share with you. Somewhere in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to have to be responsible for your money. I know it's horrible growing up, but I'll tell you, my philosophy as a father, and my wife agrees with me, is somewhere around the age of 25, our children should be independent enough to manage their own finances, to manage their own lives, to make their own decisions. And it's more than just money. In other words, over to you, Michael, Ted, Blair, and Jack. So I think it's very important today. What I'm going to try to do is make it as simple as I can simply make it. The whole idea of these presentations, there's actually four of them. And I've got 10 copies, hard copies of the paper, if you will. It starts with the decision, if anybody's interested in reading it later. You don't have to humor me, and I'll go over and get that, just like you did with the donuts. I think the thing was, a friend of mine inherited $1.5 million probably 20 years ago. Obviously, a substantial amount of money, and all of you would say, hey, I could do that. I'd be there for that, and I think I would be too. Well, around 5 years ago, I ran into him, and he told me over a coffee that the $1.5 million was completely gone. He had spent it all in the last 15 years. And matter of fact, he was now driving a taxi. And I thought, nothing wrong with driving a taxi, but not exactly the career path I would think he had in mind. I think, you know, as I made the observation, I made two observations when I looked at this, because obviously something went very, very wrong here. And the two observations were, first, I think when it comes to wealth management, and probably you are all in this group, you find it either very boring, very intimidating, or both. When it comes to people in my industry, we make the topic of wealth management extremely boring, very intimidating, or both. Do you see the problem? We're not sorting anything out. We're feeding right into your fear or your boredom of this industry. So hopefully today I can give you some ideas on how to make it a lot simpler. I think the key thing that when I look at my own personal walk when it came to wealth management, I guess the question, first question I ask you is, do you feel comfortable that you understand wealth management, money management? How many people would actually put their hand up? Okay, so there's a number of you that don't. That's great that you guys do. Now, the second question, can I ask those people, were your parents good teachers? See, that's important. That is really important. Not all of us are blessed to have good parents as teachers of wealth management. So at least recognize where the deficiency is. And then the third thing, and this is the key, you've got to make the decision. You know, it sounds very unusual, but when I put this paper together and I'm putting another paper together, which I'd be delighted to come back and speak to you on, it's almost like saying the sinner's prayer. Obviously, it's a different role, but it's a decision. And only you can make the decision. Nobody else can make the decision. And the decision when it comes to wealth management, are you going to take responsibility for managing your own money? Because nobody else is going to do it for you long term. So there are many ways to manage your wealth. There's ways to manage it well and manage it poorly. This is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the role of the parents, make the decision. What are your dreams? Take control. Create your plans and common mistakes. This is an example of a common mistake.
I'm really busy, Seth.
No, I understand,
Doctor. I'm really busy here myself. Look,
we're going to come back to you in 1 month with one idea and one idea only. You know, if you like what we had to say, great. You know, we'll do business. If not...
I mean, worst case scenario, you're going to hear yourself a new business idea.
Whoever took that x-ray, it is useless.
We're going to part as friends. That's fair, right?
Of what?
Doc, are you working with $1 million in the market right now?
Who is this again?
Hey, you know, tell me something. You're a doctor. Have you ever heard of a drug called Benadryl?
It's being manufactured by MSC Pharmaceuticals.
No.
Well, listen, okay? Listen, it's in the third stage of FDA approval, all right?
Word is it's going to be approved within the next 3 months. And it could be tomorrow for all I know.
But, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, and you're real busy over there. So why don't I just send you out
the information you requested about the firm?
No, wait. Forget the info.
Let's talk about this now.
What was the name of that drug again?
Could you hold on for...
That's from a clip in the movie The Boiler Room. And essentially what that young man is trying to do is convince the doctor to invest in his new company that he's starting. There are a lot of things in there that you can see of how not to manage your money, but the most important is there is no quick fix to managing money. There's no quick fix. I mean, you can buy lottery tickets and then at least you know if your plan's working or not. But for the most part, to acquire and manage your wealth takes time, patience, it takes a decision. It just doesn't drop in your lap. It's not going to happen that way. So where do we start? The role of parents. Children have never been very good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them. The role your parents play is twofold. They will set a good role example. In other words, the car they drive, is their visa paid on time, their visa bill? Do they always go out and get the most expensive dinner? Are they always walking around with a cafe latte at $4.60 a pop, et cetera, et cetera? You will pick up what they do. I mean, that's only fair. Why wouldn't you? So the second one, though, is they can be good teachers. I'm going to share an example with you of how you can go back and say to your parents, I mean, if you really want to blow your parents away today, go back and say, can we sit down and talk about wealth management? Because I have an idea for you, Mom and Dad, that you can help me get started. Anybody over 18? Good. Well, here's what you do. And those that are under 18, you can put it in trust. You say, Mom, now, to do this right, I would suggest you do a little research. Because there's no better way than to get off the rails if you just go in asking. Okay? Go in and say, let's work on this together. There's a new plan introduced by the Canadian government called the Tax-Free Savings Account. Anybody over 18 can put in up to $5,000 a year, which obviously is not in the realm of most people in this room. However, what I would suggest you do is you go to your parents and say, I would like to open a tax-free savings account. Would you help me fund it, i.e. maybe match my contributions? So if I put $10 in, would you put $10 in? If I put $100 in, would you put $100 in? Now, they might negotiate the percentage, but I imagine most parents would be very encouraged if you came home and made that suggestion. What have you got to lose? There's absolutely nothing to lose. The worst they can do is say no. Or the best thing they could say is, tax-free savings account, what is all that about? A lot of people don't know. I mean, this is a great, great gift by the Canadian government. And you don't have to have the full $5,000. Don't get all hooked up about that. We'll talk about it later. When my kids were in their Michael, Teddy, Blair, and Jack, and not really Jack because Jack unfortunately had a stroke in the pregnancy, but the older three, when they turned 6 years old, I took them down to the bank every year for 10 years. Every January, we would go down and visit the bank, and whatever they had saved for the previous year and put into that bank account, their mother and I gave a 25% bonus. By the time they turned 16, they had over $2,500 in their account. But what they learned along the way was far greater than any of that $2,500. They learned how to budget. They learned how to save. They learned about becoming responsible. They learned about tithing, et cetera, et cetera. All those things became very important. So now, actually, I believe, at least, when it comes to wealth management and managing their own money, they're becoming responsible young adults. So start small. You don't have to shoot for the moon. One little step, but you have to make the decision. That's the first point. Make the decision. Acquiring wealth is a decision, followed by a plan, implemented by discipline and nurtured with patience. It's no more complicated than that. You have to make the decision, am I going to take personal responsibility for my finances? Let me tell you, at some point you're going to have to. So you might as well start now. Even though it's all training ground stuff right now. Nobody's going to kick you out of the house because you're not paying the heating bill or not paying the air conditioning bill or the hydro or the water. I mean, you're now in the sweet spot where you actually have a lot of the benefits but not a lot of the expenses. The reality is, in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to get the expenses. That's going to be life. So what are your dreams? For your group right now, I mean, I talk anywhere from, this is probably the youngest crowd I've talked to people that are in their 70s. Each age bracket will have different dreams. So let's just keep it simple for you. Your dream should be starting a little nest egg just to see how it works. So take this tax-free savings account, and those that are under 18, take what I had in the paper and suggest to your parents, why don't we open a bank account, and whatever I save in the next year, you can match. And then when I turn 18, we can take all that money and put it into a tax-free savings account. It's not complicated. You know, the problem is most people want somebody else to do it for them. And the reality is that will happen for a while, but eventually it won't. And procrastination is the number one. You know, it's funny. I was thinking, you know, they talk about in the New Testament the body armor of God. Well, I think we should think about the body armor the devil uses, because he has a lot of things in place too. And the cloak of gossip, as I call it, the sword of gossip, I'm sorry, the cloak of miscommunication. But I think another one in there is procrastination. You cannot get ahead in life by just procrastinating. You've got to take personal responsibility. So I would start with your dream is, a year from now, I want to have $100 in a tax-free savings account, or I want to have $100 in my bank account. Start small. You don't have to start big. But have a disciplined program. In terms of taking control, the key thing is to know what you know, as Steve Long and I have talked about, and understand what you don't know. I would probably say 80% of the people in the room really don't understand wealth management, and that's not a problem. Find out somebody in the family who does. Sit down with them. That's what the hands that went up were their parents, good teachers. You're very fortunate. Not everybody has that. Find someone in the family or a friend of the family that you can sit down with and say, look, this guy talked this morning about saving money. What ideas do you have? Find out someone that you can trust, a trusted advisor. They're not the one managing the money, okay? The bank can do that or whatever, but no. Find someone that you trust. And then the other thing is prepare a budget. Now, this will sound crazy, but can I ask, who gets an allowance? Okay, when I talk to young families, I thought a very good piece of research/idea was to take the allowance and split it into three parts. One third spending, one third saving, and one third philanthropy, or in this case, tithing. But I mean, you don't have to do the full third, you can do 10% and put it elsewhere. The key point is, probably only 3% of people in life have a budget. They just mosey along day in, day out, just trying to make the paychecks match. It can be a very frustrating life to do that. To not acquire capital is a real deficiency, I think, in wealth management. Because once you acquire capital, then you've got some reserves, you've got, you know, all of a sudden you get unemployed or something comes up. It's very important. And actual fact, not albeit today, not a whole bunch, but it does pay you interest. So actually somebody's paying you to not spend your money. So take control, prepare a budget. and keep it simple. You know, if you get, I don't know what the allowances is these days, but say $25 a week, would that be unusual? That's probably high. It better be high. Let's call it $10 a week, just so we don't get $10 a week. Well, where's that $10 going? Keep track of it. The problem is, if you don't, you'll end up at university or college or starting your job, and then you'll be all over the map. You'll be just short cash all the time. It'll lead to frustration, etc. Understand where your money's going. Create your plans. Very important. You know, I said establish a dream, i.e. I want to learn how to save money. The dream is not I want to save $100. The dream is I want to learn how to save money. $100 is the benefit. Well, in that case, the plan is quite simple. For those 18 and over, go down to the bank, open a tax-free savings account. Anybody got grandparents? They are soft spots for this, okay? Let me tell you, go for it. But I'll tell you one thing. Don't just go and ask. Think it out. Go do some research. Come to them with a plan. Come to them why you're asking them to do it. If they view that you're just asking for a handout, got news for you, you're not going to get as much as if they view you're asking Nana, Granddad, or whatever your grandparents' names are, I want to learn how to save because I think that wants to, I need that part. Can you help me do this? I actually have a client of mine who's worth many, many millions of dollars. I said to him, millions. I said to him one day, do you have any grandchildren? He said, yeah, I have two. I said, how old are they? 6 and 8. I said, I have an idea for you. Every year, just after Christmas or before Christmas or whatever, you take them out for lunch, have a nice lunch, and the first lunch, you go over to the bank of your choice and open an account in the grandchild's name and put, say, $50 to get the account started. And then say every year for the next 10 years, we're going to come back, and just as I said earlier, whatever you've saved, we will give you a 25 or 50% bonus. Believe me, grandparents are very, I don't want to say susceptible, but they're very open. I think a lot would help, okay? But you've got to show that you've got a plan. You can't just walk in like a handout, you know, so I can go get some Tim Horton donuts or whatever. You've got a plan, very important. So get your plan. I mean, the plan is very, you know, have a little, write it out. What is the plan? The plan is to learn how to manage money. What is the structure? That's the dream. What is the plan? Structure is I'm going to open a tax-free savings account, or if I'm under 18, I'm going to open a bank account. I'm going to have a target. What's my target going to be? What can I afford? If I'm getting $10 a week, can I afford to put $2 a week into my bank account? And at the end of every 6 months, that would be roughly, $60? That $60 will be put into either the tax-free savings account or left in the bank account and get a bonus from your parents or grandparents. Common mistakes. The number one common mistake, procrastination. Procrastination. Absolutely. The antithesis is discipline. 6 skills in life, discipline has to be right at the top as far as I'm concerned. You know, if you're not going to take personal control, nobody else is going to do it for you. You're just going to go. I was speaking in Trenton to a group of grade 10 students. There I am walking down the hall. So I sort of dressed down a bit, took my tie off at least, still the jacket on. Some guy comes up to me, hey, dude. I said, hey, dude. So when I spoke at the class, I said to them, look, the reality is if you think life isn't fair, I've got news for you, it's not. It's up and down. It's just life. If you think somebody's just going to give it all to you, the reality is they're not. So step out and start taking control of some of these basic, important principles in life. There's another one I love to come back. I've talked to Ben about personal growth. We're not going to try to rush it today, though. We're going to focus on the investment management. So procrastination is the number one. Most people, you know, they don't even, I think another mistake that people make is they don't sit down and establish their dreams. They're just sort of muddling along in life. Now, you guys are still at an age, which that's fair. But you know one thing I say? Dreams cost nothing. Implementation gets expensive. You're just about to launch your life in the next 5 years, wouldn't it make sense to sit down and, what are my dreams? What do I want to be? What do I want to do? You know, at least write them down and see if they're achievable. And of course, one of the mistakes that can happen, probably not at this age, because there's not enough wealth to really become an idol, but later in life it definitely can become an idol. And then we've gone right back to where I started from by saying, you know, the key thing is make sure that you do not make wealth an idol. If you make it an idol, you're going down the wrong road. So the choices we make are ultimately our own, Eleanor Roosevelt. It's so key. So when you're looking at your common mistakes, as I said earlier, procrastination. I was talking to a woman last week. Her parents were not good teachers of wealth management. A lot of poor teachers on other stuff too. I sat down with her. We went through the tax-free savings account. She's probably in her early 40s. She doesn't have a lot of money. I understand that. Unfortunately, I think if I went back to her this week, nothing would have changed. She won't make the decision. You have to make that decision. You have to cross over the top to make the decision that, yes, I'm going to take control here. So, recommendations. This is by a guy called Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn, unfortunately, passed away last year. He was a wonderful, what I call a side door Christian as opposed to the front door. A side door Christian is somebody to me who's teaching Christian principles, Christian values, Christian operating philosophies, but not necessarily quoting the Bible when he's doing it. I mean, anybody who's a Christian can see what he's doing. There's a gentleman called John Maxwell. John Maxwell, started his career as a pastor. Did it for 8 years, and then he moved into motivational teaching. And he's now got Equip Ministries. This guy is a Christian. There's absolutely zero question about it. Most of the time he comes through the side door, but occasionally on the CDs he comes through the front door. And he's a wonderful, wonderful man to listen to. I've used a lot of his material. So the first thing is to define what your dreams are. I mean, you're at an age. Why would you not sit down and take at least 10 minutes to say, what do I want to do in the next 50 years of my life? Where do I want to go? You know, most people don't do it because they're scared to do it. They're scared to do it. And if you're scared to do it, you got to get over that hurdle. And if you can't do it yourself, do it with someone that you respect, whether it be your parents, your grandparents, a cell leader. Everybody can go see Ben. He can do all 80 of the dreams over the next week. He's available, he said. Right, Ben? Select a trusted advisor. That's what I said earlier. Again, wealth management, most people find it boring and intimidating. You're in the majority if that is the case. Take the time to find someone who knows what they're talking about. Develop your plans. Watch your expenses. And I just want to show you, to finish, a small leak will sink a great ship. And it usually volumes of how they approach money management. I'll just divert for 2 seconds here. I was at the garage getting my car changed, the oil changed. And the guy who does it normally, somebody else was doing it. So I was talking to this other guy, and he said, you know, I can't believe it. My 12-year-old daughter came home from school a couple of weeks ago and asked for her own cell phone because her best friend just got her own BlackBerry. And, you know, more power to the industry. We've somehow been convinced that if your kids don't have a cell phone, we don't love our kids because we're not taking care of their safety. Anyways, he said, well, what am I going to do? So, first of all, he did the right thing. He said, we'll get back to you. Your mother and I will talk about it. I'm giving you a little advice if you ever become parents. Make sure you always talk to your better half because they will find the seam if it's open at all. So he came back to his daughter a couple days later and said, here's what we're going to do. We will buy you the cell phone. You will pay for the plan. You will pay 1 year in advance, $280. Of course, she kicked and screamed and thought that was very unfair. And for, say, what, $5 a person, I won't talk to your parents about this idea. I think the key thing here is he was trying to teach his daughter that there is nothing in life that's free. You know, the problem is if you give in at this age, you know, just say, go ahead and do it. What happens with parents eventually, that I see at least, they'll just cold turkey you. They'll withdraw all the finances, and sometimes they'll withdraw them real quick, and then you're up the flue. So I thought that was a very good solution. Anyways, here's an idea for you. Now, I don't know if everybody likes cafe lattes, and this actually is a story about a friend of mine who actually not only likes cafe lattes, but likes two of them a day. And just for fun, I was out at I guess I was at one of the malls, and there I am with Jack in his wheelchair, and we went up to the second floor and went through chapters, and at the back of chapters, there's a Starbucks, because I want to do hand-on research and make sure I make this statement. Actually, the Grand Cafe Latte, which I think if I've got it right, is $4.60. So let's just round it up for $5 for simplicity's sake. So I said to my friend, who actually my friend's daughter, I said to her, like, why, you know, you have two cafe lattes a day. She's working full time. I said, that's $10 a day. 5 days a week, $50. That's a lot of coin. I said, why don't you give up one a day? Okay, just make the decision. There's two parts of the decision. I'm going to give up one a day, and I'm going to take that $5, and I'm going to save it. I'm not going to spend it elsewhere. So whether it's a cafe latte in your case, whether it's movies, whatever, figure out where can I come up with $5 a day. Now, at this point, probably not realistic. But down the road, it will become realistic. Hopefully. So $5 a day, 5 days a week, that's $25. 13 weeks, that's $325. Trust me on the numbers. At the end of 3 months, you've got $325 in your bank account. You go to the other side of the bank account, and you go to your tax-free savings account, and you put that $325 in your tax-free savings account. You do that four times a year for 20 years. Okay, so you've given up one cafe latte a day. Now, the interest rate, I'm assuming, so you've given up one. Okay, so one's dusted. So we're down to one. Now, as I said to my niece, you can have it in the morning, you can have it in the afternoon, whatever, but you're down to one a day. If you can earn 4% on that, which is not an historically high number, that's quite conservative, I believe, in 20 years, it will turn into $55,000 because you made one simple decision. One simple decision. Now, for those that are mathematically inclined, let's say you made it a dollar a day, did the same exercise, 20 years, a dollar a day, will obviously be $11,000. So that's the point. The point is, this is not complicated. If you can get this, let me just finish with this. If you can make the decision you want to understand it better, then make the decision, seek out somebody who knows about it. If your parents have blessed you already, then you're off to the races. If you haven't been blessed, not through any fault of theirs, maybe they were not blessed, maybe they aren't good teachers, they actually knew it, but they didn't want to teach it. You know, because it's important. They have to both know it and be able to teach it. And there's two separate skills involved there. I would highly recommend take the time to learn this very valuable skill. So let me leave it at that. I'll ask any questions. Everybody's going to go off to the bank this afternoon? Excellent, as my son would say. Fire away. No. But you know what? For you... I mean, the reality is, in Canada at least, you can make $10,000 a year and pay no tax. So it's not really an issue. Like, just go open a bank account. Because you're not going to pay any tax on it unless, you know, you guys are doing better than I thought. You know, I wasn't making $10,000 a year in grade 10. I'm sorry, I don't mean to kid, but the key is just you got to make the decision. Don't make it complicated. Make the decision, I am going to have to take personal responsibility at some point, so why not start today?
Okay, so guys, if you would like the handout, which is all those ideas like on a piece of paper in front of you, then we can get you them. Come and talk to Ben. Aside from that, we're done for today. So have an amazing week. And those who are coming to Hanover, we're meeting there.
Hey guys, if it's your first day here, you want to come meet us in the back? We want to say hey and give you some welcome stuff. We'd like to meet you. So go to the back.
Personal.
Hanover people, come up here. Please.
Still taking money out of the British bank account, and I wanted to bring my baby home. So for that kind of that's less than $20 for me. I'm 14.
Is there any interest?
So, and my, where I live in a tiny town of 1,500 people. The only job you can get, you have to be 16.
Companies do rounds.
No jobs for a 14-year-old. So I'm like, if I want to get, if I want to do any movies or anything, I'm going to have to save up all my money I'm going to ever make, like every single little penny, and then I'm going to be able to move it.
Yeah, so that's how it nice works. But you can have 3,600 in cash, and then you can have another 3,600 in shares.
Now, the funny thing is that I managed to have $53 in the bank account.
So, if you get $200.
$53. It's quite simple because me and my mom made a deal. Whenever she borrows money from me to buy groceries or whatever, she has to pay me back, I think it's 10 or 15% extra.
We do spend
that to the bank. So, if she borrows $30, she pays me $40. So, and it's working out so far. But I was thinking, like, do you have any other suggestions on what I might be able to do? Because I do have savings in the checking. So right now I'm not spending money on anything. I'm waiting until the summer because I'm not going to do a job. I might do a camp with air cadets. I get paid $170 to go. It's a little weird, but oh well. I get paid over $100 for the camp. But honestly, I think I'm just gonna have to save every penny I have. I like the presentation. I also have a job that I want to be a teacher.